So today we are very fortunate that we are having Her Grace Kala Sudha Mataji to enlighten us on Chaitanya Charitamrita. So thank you so much, Mataji. We are very thankful to you to give your valuable association to all of us. Thank you so much. Now you can take over the call. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for this opportunity. Very grateful to all of you. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudiraye Nashta Prayeshu Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhakti Bhavati Naishtiki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha Nama Pankajanabhaya Nama Pankajamaline Nama Pankajanatraya Namaste Pankajangraye Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Reading from Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, Chapter 19, entitled The Lord Instructs Srila Rupa Goswami. Reading from verse 178.
Prema Vritti Kame Namo Sneho Manu Pranay Raga Anuraga Bhava Mahabhava Hai.
Translation: the basic aspects of prema, when gradually increasing to different states, are affection, abhorrence, love, attachment, further attachment, ecstasy, and great ecstasy. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the Bhakti-rasamrita Sindhu, sneha, affection, is described as follows.
Sandhraschitta dravam kovam prema sneha itiryate kshanikasyapi neha syad vishleshasya sahishnata.
That aspect of prema in which the melting of the heart for the lover is concentrated is called sneha or affection. The symptom of such affection is that the lover cannot for a moment remain without the association of the beloved. A description of mana can be found in Madhya Leela in chapter 2, text 66. Similarly, a description of pranay is also there. As far as raga is concerned, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu says,
Sneha sarago yena syat sukham dukham api sfutam tat sambandha lave apyat atra prati sprana vyayairapi.
That stage at which affection for the beloved converts unhappiness into happiness is called raga or attachment. When one has such attachment for Krishna, he can give up his own life to satisfy his beloved Krishna. Anuraga, Bhava, and Mahabhava are described in the 6th chapter of the Madhya Leela, verse 13. The purport of that verse explains Adhiruddha Mahabhava. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Melitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Radhanath Swaminiti Namine Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Jayapataka Swaminiti Namine Namacharya Padaya Natai Kripa Pradayine Gorakatha Dhamadaya Nagara Gramatarine Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshadharine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare So, reading these verses and this part of the Chaitanya Charitamrita especially, at least for me, I just feel that it is so much evident that why Srila Prabhupada called this as the postgraduate study. Prabhupada said that Bhagavad Gita is like school level, Srimad Bhagavatam is university, and Chaitanya Charitamrita is postgraduate, it's PhD. So we can understand by reading these verses that it is such esoteric subject matters being discussed here by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in this is a very, very, very important chapter. This chapter, which is, you know, Mahaprabhu is giving the instructions to Srila Rupa Goswami. These instructions actually form the basis of Srila Rupa Goswami's writings, you know, from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And, you know, here you can see that how Mahaprabhu is just giving, you know, like aphorisms, you know, like how Vedanta Sutras, they are considered to be their sutras, their one-liners, you know. That's why it's called aphorisms, the Vedic aphorisms. Like Athato Brahma Jikyasa, that is a Vedanta Sutra. So sutra means, that's how in the previous days, that if you just say Athato Brahma Jigyasa, you basically, you know, are conveying whatever you are conveying and whatever the person whom you are conveying to, they're on a very, very, you know, it's not that they're on the same level, because it's one is the teacher, one is the student, but their hearts are very much connected. Their minds are very much connected. Lot of these Vedanta Sutras, you know, when, how, you know, the way Krishna learnt in the Gurukul, the way Lord Ramachandra learnt all these different, you know, things in the Gurukul, they all learnt by understanding it through the Vedanta Sutras. They actually used to just study the Vedanta Sutras because there was nothing else. You know, like Vyasadev had not even compiled anything else. But because of Kali Yuga, the fallen nature of the people in Kali Yuga, that we are so, you know, not in tune. If we say, even when, you know, something directly Krishna is saying that, you know, something directly how, you know, Srila Prabhupada has explained Bhagavad Gita as it is. But there are so many unscrupulous people in Kali Yuga that the direct words of Krishna, they are just twisting and turning it and using it for their own selfish, you know, understanding or to propagate their own personal thoughts. And that is something very, very, it's a very sorry state of Kali Yuga. And that is exactly why Vedanta Sutras will definitely not work in Kali Yuga. And that is the reason why Srila Vyasadeva compiled all of these Shastras for our benefit. So that at least we have them, you know, written and we have less chance of deviating. And Srila Prabhupada has so carefully laid down everything to us that, you know, so that we don't get, you know, washed down, or we don't get, you know, flown out with the, you know, current of the water. We stick, you know, our journey to the spiritual world, it has a proper, you know, foundation that we don't have to get deviated unnecessarily. Where we are having this, when we have these precious teachings of Srila Prabhupada in our hands, you know, available to us. So here we can see that these esoteric subject matters that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is describing to Srila Rupa Goswami, it actually started from text number 136 of this chapter, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying to Srila Rupa Goswami that I will just give you a synopsis of the symptoms of devotional service. And from 136, and today we are at 178, and these verses will continue for at least, on glorification of the devotional service. This entire chapter has 256 verses. So Mahaprabhu is giving these aphorisms to Srila Rupa Goswami. He is giving it in the form of sutras. And what Srila Rupa Goswami has done is that by understanding the mood and these, you know, esoteric teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for our benefit, Srila Rupa Goswami has then gone on to compile Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and then the other books, you know, Vidagdha Madhava, so many different books, you know. There's Ujjwala Nilamani, which is a very, 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 you know, esoteric book that is written by Srila Rupa Goswami. So all of these books are based on this particular teaching that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is right now imparting to Srila Rupa Goswami. And that is why Srila Prabhupada, he also, in his purport, he's actually, because, you know, otherwise it's just a two-liner, you know, what Mahaprabhu is given is just two lines. And Srila Prabhupada, to explain those two lines, Srila Prabhupada is teaching us how we should be taking shelter of Srila Rupa Goswami. Because Srila Rupa Goswami has explained that sutra of Sriman Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his book, The Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, The Nectar of Devotion. So that is the glory of the parampara. That is the genuineness of Srila Prabhupada, how he is, you know, continuing on this, you know, the parampara as it is. So we should always be very, very mindful, very careful that how we are taking things, you know, in the proper perspective, in the proper sampradaya, in the right understanding. You know, Srila Prabhupada always says that, yes, I have written Bhagavad Gita as it is, but it is also important for us to understand Bhagavad Gita as it is and implement Bhagavad Gita as it is in our own lives. It is not just, you know, it just doesn't stop at reading Bhagavad Gita as it is. We should know how to even convert that reading to our speaking and then convert it also to our own actions by implementing and living the Bhagavad Gita as it is. So that is the success of reading Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is by Srila Prabhupada and by sticking to the parampara. So here in text 178 that we read today, again, I just want to repeat that it's very esoteric subject matter. It is talking about, Mahaprabhu is talking here about the stages of prema. You know, we all know the nine stages of bhakti, starting from sadhu sangha, and the nine stages of bhakti that is described, that, you know, in prema it actually culminates in prema. So even prema is actually categorized further into seven more stages. That is what is described here by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. we actually start the nine stages of bhakti, it starts from shraddha, sorry, from faith. It starts from faith, and then it moves to sadhusanga. Then, but this faith is a very important aspect of bhakti. And then how it matures into sadhusanga, when we keep associating with devotees, we engage in the performance of devotional service, which is bhajana kriya. Then while performing devotional service, we try to get rid of our unwanted qualities, which is anartha nivritti. And by decreasing those unwanted attachments, our steadiness, our nishtha, in Krishna consciousness, in our devotional service, increases. By that steadiness, we start to develop some taste in devotional service, which is not there initially. So that is the stage of ruchi. And then comes ashakti, which is attachment. Attachment to the holy name, to spiritual things. We started off with the third stage and the fourth stage when we are doing bhajana kriya. We also do, that also deals with attachment, but that deals with taking care of our negative attachments, our unwanted attachments, of lust, pride, greed, envy, anger, illusion, all of these negativity that pulls us down and is a hindrance on our path of devotional service. That is also taken care of. That is what is taken care of during anartha nivritti. All of our negative attachments are gone. And then ashakti, in the seventh stage, we develop positive attachment. In the beginning stages, we are forced to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Force means sometimes we are not so spontaneously chanting. Of course, I can say for myself that, yes, not every day do I feel like, yes, I have to chant. I don't have that strong desire yet. And I hope and pray that at least in this lifetime, one day, I will develop that attachment to the chanting of the holy names. So that is the stage of asakti. When we have asakti, then that is the eighth stage of bhava. Bhava means it's the budding stage of love. Just like, when a rose is about to bloom, just before it blooms, it is in that stage of bhava. It's the budding stage of love. And then it purely manifests, blooms out too as prema. That is the ninth stage. Now, even in prema, Mahaprabhu is explaining that there are these seven stages of prema, which is sneha, mana, pranay, raga, anuraga, bhava, and mahabhava. So these are the seven stages of prema, and we can see that in prema, the gopis are actually manifesting each and every one of these seven symptoms. And the perfection of the gopis is in the absolute form of Srimati Radharani, who is called as Mahabhav Swarupini Srimati Radharani. Because this Mahabhava is actually characterized only by Srimati Radharani. So here we have, starting with Sneha, Srila Prabhupada actually starts the purport by describing what sneha is, quoting from Srila Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Srila Prabhupada is translating it as that aspect of prema in which the melting of the heart for the lover is concentrated, it is called sneha or affection. So when we really, like the gopis, they can only think of Krishna. Even when they are taking care of their household activities, they have that strong sense of affection towards Krishna. It is even beyond love. The stage of love or prema, it is the reason why sneha and all of these are considered to be stages of love, considered to be manifestations of prema. But sneha has a very, very unique position. You can you can say, yes, I really, you know, and sneha, this affection, it is actually not possible in this material world. You cannot have that pure affection towards someone. Affection comes only when you are really not considering anything for yourself. It's very, very selfless in nature. And the closest analogy, Srila Prabhupada said, that can be given is mother's love for her children. So that is affection. But of course, you know, in the mundane world, we also see that when the kids start to grow up, in the childhood days, yes, the mother's love is very, very selfless. There's no doubt about that. But when the child starts to grow, and when the child starts, you know, getting elderly and, you know, starts earning, there is expectation even from a mother and child relationship. There is expectation. So, you know, in material world, it's very difficult to get this selfless affection, which is talked about here in this particular verse as sneha. This is possible only with Krishna. This affection that you are helplessly, you know, when you are helplessly thinking about your beloved, when the heart, you know, the melting of the heart, you know, your heart just always just helplessly thinks about your beloved. You just can't, you know, avoid thinking about anything else other than your beloved. That is called as sneha or affection. Your mind is just helplessly drawn towards them. Whenever you talk about or think about this person, and that is, you know, whenever means every second of every day. You know, every moment you're thinking, your heart is just helplessly thinking, and your heart is, whenever you're thinking, it's just melting in affection for that person, of your beloved. So that is possible only in a spiritual sense. It is not possible materially. And Srila Prabhupada said that the lover actually in this stage cannot for a moment remain without the association of the beloved. It is impossible. A moment's separation is like death for the beloved. So we can understand that the condition of the gopis, you know, in separation of Krishna is exactly like this. And in this condition, the second condition, the second stage of prema, which is mana. Mana is, you know, Srila Prabhupada here in the translation, he says abhorrence. Now, if you look up abhorrence in the dictionary, it says, you know, when you're loathful towards somebody. Means when you, it's a feeling of hatred towards somebody. Because mana, there is no proper English translation to this word mana. Man means... that Srimati Radharani or the gopis, when Krishna doesn't come to the designated place at the proper time that he had given, Srimati Radharani and the gopis, they actually display their anger. They actually display that they hate Krishna for coming so late. But that also is, they are not hating Krishna out of envy towards Krishna. They're hating Krishna out of this mana, out of this helpless love that they have for Krishna. They're hating Krishna. That why did you come late? How dare you come late, Krishna? So that they're showing their mana. They're showing their anger. They're showing their, that how much we loathe you, Krishna. We don't, you know, you made us wait. We are, look at us. We are decked up. We are all, you know, dolled up for you. And you give, you know, you don't even care for us. That is the kind of attitude that the gopis are having whenever Krishna comes late. And that is why there is, you know, in Barshana also, in many, many places in Vrindavan, there is Man Mandir. You know, Man Mandir means where Srimati Radharani was very angry, she actually goes to these places. And Shri Krishna, he comes there to pacify Srimati Radharani, and he becomes Man Bihari. He is worshipped as Man Bihari. Means he is the one who, only he can destroy the mana of Srimati Radharani and, you know, make her less angry. And only Krishna is capable of doing that. So Srimati Radharani is worshipped as, Mana Devi, and Krishna is worshipped as Mana Bihari, Man Bihari Ji temple. So like this, we see that how Mana generally very negative in the material sense, but in spiritual sense, in the context of prema, it is actually the second stage where the beloved is in so much, put into so much anxiety by the lover, like that. So that is how mana is explained. Pranay and Srila Prabhupada actually translates pranay as love. Pranay, Srila Prabhupada is translating it as love. Raga, he's saying, as attachment. Anuraga, as further attachment. Bhava, ecstasy. And Mahabhava, great ecstasy. So like this, pranaya is, Radharani is also... Srimati Radharani, even in the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this word pranaya is used in glorifying Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srimati Radharani, that how much of, unconditional love is being displayed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Similarly, raga as attachment, so much attachment, that they, when Krishna plays on his flute in the middle of the night, the gopis and Srimati Radharani are helplessly just drawn towards that flute. They just come leaving everything. So much of, spontaneous attraction for an attachment to Krishna is there that they actually have to, I remember Srila Prabhupada, he makes this statement that for us in the contaminated state, we have to remember to actually, we have to force ourselves, to actually get up in the morning, take a shower, brush our teeth. When we're taking a shower, we do that as a, as a chore for us, But Srila Prabhupada is glorifying his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and said that, for us, it is difficult for us to, we have to strive hard to actually stay in the mode of goodness. We have to struggle to stay in the mode of goodness. But for Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he had to actually remind himself to brush his teeth, because he would be in the transcendental mode so much all the time, he would actually forget to even take care of his body. So Srila Prabhupada is glorifying a spiritual master, saying that for us, which, something that, we also struggle, there he is also struggling. But that struggle is that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has to come down from the transcendental, from Shuddha Sattva, he has to come down to the mode of goodness. And for us, we have to rise up, from the passion and ignorance mode that we are always buried in, and at least try to struggle to be in the mode of goodness. So this is the difference between pure devotees and, devotees, like myself, we are struggling to, at least strive to be in the Shuddha Sattva state. But Srimati Radharani, this raga and anuraga is so much, their attachment and their further attachment to Krishna is so much that they're helplessly, just like a magnet, they're drawn towards Krishna. They're so helplessly attached to Krishna. And then, bhava and mahabhava is described, that bhava is the ecstasy and mahabhava is the greatest ecstasy. So here actually, other than reading from these purports, I really don't know what else to say, but there's one thing that Srila Prabhupada here talks about, the quotation from Madhya Lila, verse 13, chapter 6, regarding Bhava and Mahabhava. So I was just looking that up, and that chapter is the liberation of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in this chapter, in this particular verse, he's thinking that the translation is Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya considered the uncommon ecstatic symptoms of Adhiruddha Bhava are appearing in the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is very wonderful. How are they possible in the body of a human being? So seeing the ecstatic symptom, you know, here Srila Prabhupada is ending the verse, the purport, with talking about this same Adhiruddha Bhava. And that's what here also Srila Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he is actually amazed to see the manifestation of Adhiruddha Bhava in the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Srila Prabhupada explaining in the purport, he's saying that Adhiruddha Bhava or Adhiruddha Mahabhava, it is explained in the Ujjvala Neelamani book of Srila Rupa Goswami. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he quotes Rupa Goswami as follows. He says that the loving propensity of the Ashraya, which is the devotee, towards the Vishaya, which is the Lord, becomes so ecstatic that even after enjoying the company of the beloved, the devotee feels that his enjoyment is insufficient. At such a time, the lover sees the beloved in different ways. Such a development of ecstasy is called anuraga. When anuraga reaches its highest limit and becomes perceivable in the body, it is called bhava. When the bodily symptoms are not very distinct, however, the emotional state is called anuraga. It's still called anuraga, not bhava. When bhava ecstasy is intensified, it is called as mahabhava. The symptoms of mahabhava are visible only in the bodies of eternal associates like the gopis. And that's the end of the purport there also. So basically this mahabhava, Srila Prabhupada is saying that it is the manifestation of ecstatic symptoms. In ecstatic symptoms like, you know, standing of hair on the body and trembling, crying in ecstasy, which is again in the following verses in 179, 80, 181, all of these, the ecstatic symptoms Mahaprabhu is describing. So these are, and even some of the ecstatic symptoms are that the limbs either become very short or the limbs become excessively like rubber-like. They become very long. So Mahaprabhu actually used to display all of these ecstatic symptoms. All of these. Sometimes Mahaprabhu would just, you know, his hands would just become so long and devotees would feel, oh my God, what's happening? You know, they would not be able to understand that, you know, the lengthening of Mahaprabhu's limbs, his arms just stretching down to the ground and his legs just stretching. That is the ecstatic symptom. That is Adhiruddha Mahabhava. And so the Adhiruddha Mahabhava is actually the all the seven stages of prema that was described from sneha to mahabhav, when that manifests in the body of a personality, that is the manifestation of Adhiruddha Mahabhava. And Srila Prabhupada says very clearly that it is possible only in the bodies of eternal associates like the gopis. So, you know, I'd like to just end with one very sweet pastime which I heard from Srila Radharaman Maharaj when we were in the Brajamandal Parikrama, when we were walking from Varshana to Nandagaon. And Maharaj talking about the Prema Vaichitti of Srimati Radharani. And we cross by one sarovar, which is called as the Prem Sarovar, and that is the ecstatic love of tears that Srimati Radharani had cried. And seeing which, you know, seeing the tears, the loving tears of Srimati Radharani, even Krishna cried tears of ecstasy. Because Krishna cannot tolerate tears in Srimati Radharani's eyes. So whenever she cries, he cries too. And that's how this sarovar was made, this Prem Sarovar, by the loving tears of the divine couple. And the reason why Srimati Radharani cried that particular day, Maharaj explained in a very beautiful pastime, which I'd like to share with all of you, which shows her Mahabhav, you know, nature, and that how Srimati Radharani is the complete manifestation of Adhiruddha Mahabhava. So Srimati Radharani, one day, she was sitting with Krishna on a swing, and both of them were together. Srimati Radharani was holding Krishna's hands, and they were both sitting together on the swing. And the gopas were on one side, and the gopis were on one side. They were all, you know, having a very nice, you know, little bit of like a jhulanyatra. And at that time, Madhumangala and Sudama, both these boys, these gopas, they noticed that there was one honeybee. A honeybee that was coming towards Srimati Radharani's face. Because Srimati Radharani's face is so beautiful, the honeybee actually got confused that Srimati Radharani's lotus face to be like a flower. So this honeybee was trying to come near Srimati Radharani's lotus face, trying to suck the nectar from her lotus face, but it was about to bite Srimati Radharani because the honeybee was also completely intoxicated in that sense. He didn't understand the difference between the actual flower and Srimati Radharani's lotus-like face. So the beauty of Srimati Radharani's face, you know, she's like a golden champaka flower. So beautiful, so soft, so delicate. You know, her reddish lips are like, you know, the soft pollen that is found on the champaka flower. Her bumblebee-like eyes. So the bumblebee who came, this honeybee who came, he thought that, oh, there are already two honeybees, you know, who are sitting on this flower. The honeybee thought that, oh, my friends are already come here. He thought that Srimati Radharani's lotus-like eyes are like honeybees, bumblebees. So that's why it was trying to come more towards the lotus face of Srimati Radharani. And when, you know, like this honeybee was, you know, so looking at Srimati Radharani's face, coming near Srimati Radharani's face, these two boys, Madhumangala and Sudama, they got very scared for Srimati Radharani, that this honeybee might go and bite Srimati Radharani. So they just, you know, fanned the chamara close to her lotus face and drove that honeybee away, you know, just took it away. The honeybee went away from the lotus face of Srimati Radharani. And as soon as it went away, Sudama started clapping, because he was very, you know, relieved that honeybee went away and Srimati Radharani didn't get bit. So he was clapping and he said, oh, madhu chala gaya, madhu chala gaya, madhu ko humne bhaga diya. Means we made madhu go away. Madhu means the honeybee is called as madhumakhi. But, you know, this Sudama, he started clapping and he was like feeling very relieved, and he just said, oh, madhu chala gaya, madhu chala gaya. We drove away madhu. And when Srimati Radharani heard this, although Krishna was sitting right next to her, holding her lotus hand, still Srimati Radharani thought that Krishna, who is also known as Madhu, Madhusudana, his name is also Madhu. So Radharani thought that Krishna has gone away. So even though Krishna was personally present next to Srimati Radharani, just by thinking that Krishna has gone away from her, Srimati Radharani fainted in ecstasy. She could not tolerate the separation from Krishna. And when she fainted, she just fainted. And seeing Srimati Radharani fainted, Krishna immediately put, you know, some water on her and said, "Radhi, what happened to you? What happened? Why are you? Why did you faint?" And then Radharani was in like a trance and she said, "Madhu went away. My Madhu went away. You know, where did he go? Why did he go? Please bring him back." And then Krishna himself is saying, "Radhi, I'm right here next to you. I did not go away." And this moment, you know, when Srimati Radharani then looked at Krishna and realized that, yes, Krishna is with her, she started crying tears of loving ecstasy. And seeing those tears, even Krishna started crying, and they made this Prem Sarovar. So this is the sarovar of love that came from the loving tears of Shri Radha and Shama Sundara. And this is described as Prema Vaichitti, that how Mahabhav Swarupini Srimati Radharani is manifesting this Adhiruddha Mahabhava in her, that even though the beloved is right next to her, but still she's thinking that he's not there. You know, that is the highest form of Prema. So I'll end with that. If there's any questions, comments, or reflections, we can take that now. Thank you very much. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Srila Rupa Goswami Pad ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. ISKCON Vartaman Guru Vrinda ki jai.
Hare Krishna. Dandavat Pranam. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for this ecstatic class. I really liked the way you were talking about Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, about him coming from the platform of Shuddha Sattva to the platform of Sattva to take care of his chores. It was really, really sweet. And also the way you explained the meaning of Maan, so beautiful. Thank you so much, Mataji. The pastime was also, as usual, very, very sweet. Thank you so much for giving us your association. All glories to you. Hare Krishna.
Hare. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Nandat Pranam, please accept my humble obeisances. Mataji, I have a question, Mataji.
Yes, Keshavi, Hare Krishna.
It's my ignorance, I'm not qualified to understand this lecture, but when you said with the tears of Krishna and Radha, the Sarovar has made, just I want to try to understand how it will be possible, Mataji, because I had a question just in so many years, so just I wanted to know from you.
So can you just repeat your question again exactly? What is the question?
You said Radharani was crying and she got tears. Mm-hmm. With that tears, and Krishna started crying. With both these tears, the Sarovar has made, right, you said?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Yes, how we need to understand that, Mataji?
Well, see, these things we need to understand that, firstly, that, you know, they don't cry, and for us, even, one handkerchief also might not get wet when we cry. but, you know, when Radharani and Krishna cry, it can actually fill. And, you know, that bigger sarovar, that is the difference there, the Supreme Godhead. So, that is how we need to understand that when, you know, even how Shyamakunda, how was Shyamakunda formed? Shyamakunda is actually, you know, it is said that it is Krishna's left foot. Krishna just took his left foot and he just, you know, struck the ground, and then a deep impression was formed, and that is Shyamakunda. So now if you see Shyamakunda is so big, so how can we say that that is Krishna's left foot? It's impossible, no? In the mundane sense, when we try to think of it and try to find the logic in it. But the thing is that we need to understand that Krishna, he is, you know, he is the Virat Rupa. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this, you know, little Shyamakunda, actually comparing it to the actual size of Krishna's lotus feet, how, you know, Krishna is bigger than the biggest, he can be smaller than the smallest also. Krishna is so small that he can fit in between the atoms, but he is so huge that he can take this entire universe on his, on himself. That is how huge he is. So, you know, and in three little steps he can also conquer the entire creation. You know, everything, all the three planetary systems gone in one footstep. So that is how gigantic his feet is. So if his feet, he can cover one entire loka, then why can't, you know, the tears from Krishna's eyes cover one small kunda? So, you know, it is just that we need to see it from Krishna's perspective. And then everything is very easy to understand, that nothing is impossible for Krishna.
This is right. Thank you so much.
I hope that makes sense.
Yes, Mataji. True, Mataji.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you
thank
so
you.
Much.
Mataji. Nice question. Any more questions or comments?
Hare Krishna, Krishna, Kalasuda Mataji, very nice. You have given the nectar. Thank you. Hare
Krishna, Ramodiki Mataji. Hare Krishna, thank you.
Please come more often.
By all your blessings. Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji, for sweet pastimes. We are very grateful. We are very fortunate that we are listening to the actual nectar coming from directly from Goloka. Thank you so much, Mataji, for that.
Hare Krishna. I'm just repeating the words. That's all I'm doing. So you all are hearing with so much of, you know, faith and love. That is what is the potency. It's got really very little to do with me. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Guru Maharaj Ki Jai, this is Shyama Gauri Devi Dasi from Charlotte.
Hare Krishna Mataji.
Thank you so much for the sweet, sweet pastimes in your sweet words, Mataji. Thank
Hare
you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your kindness, Mataji. Thank you. If there's no more questions.
Okay, Mataji. So thank you all so much again. Thank you for your valuable association. Thank you, Mataji, for the very nice class. We can end the call now. वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. अनन्तकोटिवैष्णवदण्ड की जय, श्रीलप्रभुपाद की जय, श्री श्री चैतन्य चरतामृता की जय, हरिदेव कलासुधा माताजी की जय,
अनंत वैष्णव वृंद की जय.